All right, we're back. RoyMatlockJr.com, and we are going to do things, if you visit that, to help you get where you need to go. My name's Roy Matlock. This is the Money and Business Hour, where we help you learn about money. And again, visit RoyMatlockJr.com. It's the place to get your, the resources. And if you need help with your money, I would say do the same thing and give us a call at 615-843-2999. I'm going to answer questions now. All right. I do all these appointments, all right, and I have people ask me a lot of things. And so let me give you an example. I have people say, what about life insurance? Do I need life insurance? I'm single. Should I own life insurance? You know, I remember when I first got involved in the business, I didn't have any liabilities. I didn't have any kids. I didn't have a mortgage. You know, I was what we call a no-star. I just had a little bit of money coming in. And the end of the day, if something happened to me, my car was poor, they could sell my car, put me in the ground, and that was the end of it. And then one day, I got married, and then I bought a house, then I had a kid, okay, and then I ended up having three more kids, and so then I had four kids, and before you know it, I had all these responsibilities, and I had an income, and so that's when, at the time when you start having those responsibilities, you say, well, my family is dependent on my income, so I should buy income protection. And what income protection is when you buy life insurance, think of this, it's to protect an income. I'm going to give you an example. If you're making $100,000 a year, here's a rule of thumb. You could put a zero on the end of that $100,000, and that would be $1 million. If you got 8%, that'd pay $80,000 a year. You're gone, okay? And that would give you an income stream for your family. So we have all these different rules. Some of it's a financial decision. What should you buy? Always buy term, okay? I've never seen anything good come out of cash value life insurance other than commissions, okay, for the insurance agent selling it. But the best type of term, Consumer Reports has been recommending it, buy term insurance always. And so then what you do, you get started, you buy 20-year term, 30-year term, whatever it may be. And the goal is to get to a point where you when you retire, you've got cash and you need very little insurance. All right. Had a question. What is a life settlement? You may have seen this, a lot of these ads that are going on about, we will buy your life insurance policy, that kind of deal. So what is a life settlement? Are they good? Do they make sense? Let me give you just an idea on what happens. When you buy life insurance, the first thing an insurance company does is they underwrite you. And they their goal is to have what they call good mortality. What good mortality is that they collect premiums and you don't die. You hope to be good mortality. You never want to collect on it. You'd rather not collect. So we're on the same page. So what happens, though, they ask you medical questions, and they do all that kind of stuff, and they send a nurse out, and you do a physical, and they say, okay, you're healthy, and we'll provide you life insurance for 20 years. All right, it's going to cost this or whatever it is. And then what happens is, over time, you have a heart attack or you get diabetes, you start having health problems. You get out there, and now you're at or near retirement, and your premiums are getting expensive, and you're like, hang on a second. I don't want to pay $800 a month for this policy. All right, I need to retire. And your health is poor. And then what happens is you see this ad. It says, we will buy your life insurance policy. So what happens is there's a company called Viaticals and there's a company called Life Settlements. All right, the difference in a life settlement and a Viatical is a life settlement tends to be for older people that are still healthy. All right, and what happens is insurance companies on average, all right, the longer someone keeps a policy in force, their health is not as good. So there's companies out there that say, hey, here's what we'll do. We'll give you some cash and take over your premium. All right. So rather than you paying the $800 a month, we'll give you some cash. In addition to that, we'll take over the premium. We'll be the beneficiary on it. And they do that. They underwrite you based on your health, and the worse health you're in, the more money you get, and so on. A viatical is when it's a nearer term, you've been diagnosed with something bad and you need some cash quickly, then you can do that. So you might, if you hear those ads, they're not all bad, but you need to just be understanding what they're all about. All right. So I had another question that says, what are the most important things that you need to save for? Okay. Or in order to be able to save? Well, you want to automate. I always tell people that. The best way to save money is to automate your savings. All right, what do I mean by that? Have it pulled out of your paycheck, have it drafted out of your checking account. That's step number one in getting ahead. Then what you want to do is you want to look at rate of return And you also want to look at return, meaning you don't want to put it into stuff where you're not going to get the money back. You know, I see people right now, they're Bitcoin experts and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's interesting. I'd love to have someone that is investing in Bitcoin to explain to me what they just bought. And that would be that. That'd be like a comedy show, getting someone to say, oh, I bought Bitcoin. Great. Can you explain it? No, I don't have any idea what it is. I'm just buying it. Okay. And that's what happens. And so you want to make sure that when you put stuff, money into things, that you get a return on it. And then you want to get a rate of return. And then you put time in place. And guess what? You are in good shape. All right. Next question is, how do I figure out how much I need to retire on? We call that a FIN number. The financial independence number. We actually provide that. So let me give you just a quick idea on financial independence number. You say, well, to begin with, here's what I'm doing. I make this much. I'm saving 20% of my income. So if I'm making 100 grand, I really am only having 80 grand. And then out of that 80 grand, paying taxes. So if I want to live like I'm doing and I look at my budget, and I'm living on 50 grand, whatever it is. That's what it costs me to live. And I say 50 grand. Well, if I got 30 years out here in the future, how much is 50 going to need to be? Oh, it's going to need to be 120 grand. You say, okay, now we got that. We got an inflated number. Then we back that out. We say, well, if I get 8% on my money and I'm going to live for 20 years, what's the lump sum needed in order for me to be able to quit getting 8 with inflation being maybe 3 or 4 and I'm going to live 20 years after retirement? And what's the expected rate of return I'm going to get while accumulating money out in the into the future? And you put all that into this little thing we call a financial needs analysis. And I say to you, based on what you told me, you need to save $1,428 a month for 30 years, and you're going to have your FIN number, you're going to be financial independent, your financial independence number. That's how you do that. All right. I have another question. Well, how do I pick my 401k? All right. The 401k, or it could be your retirement plan through a 403b or whatever it may be. What I tell people, if you just have no idea, look at target date funds, all right? Because one of the things about target dates, they came out with the idea that no matter what your educational level is, you can sure take your birth year and add 65 to it, or 70 or 60, depending on when you think you're going to retire. And then what the investment firm is going to do, you're just going to draft your money. I'm going to put my 6% in. They're going to do 3%. And if you do that, that's going to be your best solution if you don't have anybody helping you. All right. So I always tell people target dates. I'm not sold on target dates as being the best solution. But if you're out there by yourself, you don't know what to choose, pick the target date, take your birth year, add 65 or 70, depending on how long you think you're going to work, and add that to it, and it'll come up. So let's say you're born in 1980. And you said, well, I'm born in 1980. I'm going to add 65 to 1980. That's 2045. I'm going to look and find me a target date, life series, whatever it's called, 2045. And that'll give me just a ballpark way of doing things. All right. What about previous 401ks? What should I do with them? My experience has always been, I run into people all the time and they tell me, oh, I've got 401ks from my previous job. I got 3 or 4 of them, all this kind of stuff. Best thing, generally speaking, and again, you have to look, you know, I have to give general overviews without meeting with someone. You may be better off leaving it where it is, but generally speaking, by moving them and combining them, you're able to allocate them better, because you know, you rather than having 3 or 4 different places. And today this is happening all the time. People work for 5 years at 401k, they leave and they go somewhere else and they leave it there. You know, I'm not real fired up about rolling your 401k into your existing 401k, but some people do it. But you do have the option. You have a couple options when you're working for a company. The first one is when you leave, you can obviously roll it to an IRA. When you retire, you can and you terminate employment, you enroll it to 401k, or from the 401k to an IRA. And then the last thing that a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, if you go work with a company, especially if you're with a smaller company, many times the cost in the 401ks are more expensive. Additionally, the options are less. And even in big companies, they've got different, you know, limited options when it comes to your 401k. If you're 59 and a half, you can do what's called an in-service distribution. That means you can stay at your job, continue to contribute, continue to get matching funds, but the money that's sitting in there, you can roll it to an IRA. And when you roll it to an IRA, it moves over there tax-free. You're not taking the money. Now you have access to all of the different options. And so depending on your age and things like that, if you're 59, at least 59 and a half, you can do that kind of stuff. And it gives you options to be able to do it. I have another question that came in. What's the difference in an index fund and just regular mutual funds? All right. So an index fund is a fund that just will put it, let's just say the S&P 500. So an index fund, they invest across the S&P 500. Now, there's different types of S&P index funds. One of them is the most widely known, to where they take a market cap and they invest it. So let's say Facebook is 4% of the S&P. They would have 4% in there. And every night, the top 500 companies in asset size, they reallocate that and they put it in there and they mirror that thing. Now, why do people go into index funds? Well, the index is average, S&P's averaged 10% for a long, 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 long time. And so they say, well, if we do that, what are the negatives on index funds? Well, it's always fully invested. And in many cases, it's fully invested in the companies that have appreciated the most. So it may be a little more volatile than if you, say, get into a professionally managed mutual fund. And so one of the key elements that I've seen about that is, the most important thing you can do as an investor is to stay in the market and don't let yourself panic and be out of the market and stuff like that. And so I hope these questions, I've got so many questions. I'm looking here, how to refinance, what's the best way to do it, all these kind of things. So what we're going to do, if you're tuning in right now, go to roymatlickjr.com and start listening to these podcasts. You'll see this series has been going on. I'm sitting here right now, I guess I've been like 30-something shows that I've been putting together in a series, and now we're to the question and answer. So visit roymatlickjr.com. If you need help, we can help you there. Also, download some of our free resources. For instance, our client education series is a 13-part, 45-minute Zoom series, A to Z, walking you through all this. Hey, once again, we're knocking out another show. My name is Roy Matlick Jr. Stay tuned and listen next week.